Hey, thanks for listening to the Blended Podcast.
I'm Megan. I have a 16-year-old daughter named Tana from my previous marriage who is with us full time. And in 2018, I married my husband, Chris. His daughter, Lena, is 9 from his previous marriage.
And I'm Derek, and I have Zeke, who's 11, Kingston, who's 9 from a previous marriage, and married Jesse in 2018, and she didn't have any kids, but now we have one on the way. So walk with us as we share our crazy blended lives. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Blended Podcast. And today we talk about the Brady Bunch syndrome.
That's right. The misconception of growing up watching the Brady Bunch thinking all blended families are going to turn out great. They're going to love each other, even if it's, you know, yours and mine and maybe you don't have ours. But, you know, you saw the Brady Bunch blend so well, you know what I mean? And of course there may have been an argument or something amongst the kids, but it would always end with everybody making up and a lesson learned. And so maybe you went into your blended family expecting that. And we know expectations are about the worst thing that we could have going into a blended family.
They don't always meet reality. And, one of the reasons most blended families fail is because of false expectations as to what your relationship and family life will look like once you get married or move in together.
Yeah.
Unwillingness to work on difficult problems or seek outside help when it's needed and expectations are not met. That is the number one reason that blended families end up not working as well. And there's some pretty shocking statistics. I think it's somewhere around 40% of all marriages end up in divorce.
Yeah, that's just your first marriage.
Yep.
And then after that, when you get into your second marriage, 60% of those second marriages fail. And if you both come into it with children, like, you know, in my case, like I had a daughter and my husband had a daughter and we got married, the statistics on that marriage failing, 70%. 70% of us who go into our second marriage, both of us with kids already, are the statistics say they're destined to fail, 70%.
And I have trouble believing that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that have been married a second time in a blended family, and years and years down the road, they're still married.
Right. I know that too, but I do think just from a lot of my friends that have been married previously, I think a lot of them get into that mindset when problems arise. Okay, I've been here. I've done this, and I don't want to live like this. I think they assume the worst because they've maybe been through the worst with their previous marriage. So it's like at that first sign of trouble, they want to bail. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm not saying everybody, but I do know a lot of people are just like, nope, I see the red flags. I'm not going this route again. And I think I would say a pretty high percentage want to jump ship instead of trying to stick it out. But then on the other hand, I'd say that you do have that percentage of people who it didn't work. It was maybe a bad situation the first time. So that inspires you to try even harder. And I kind of feel like that's where like me and my husband are, where you and Jesse are. Like we remember what our first marriages were like and we don't want to go there again, but we don't want to go there in the sense of we'll do anything to fight to make this one work.
And I did a little research too, though. Actually, it's about 60% of all second marriages don't work in general, whether they're blended or not.
Right. Yeah.
So regardless, and I think sometimes we bypass what the real issue is and just point a lot of those failures to stepkids or co-parenting, and we make the easiest, you know, we pick from the lowest hanging fruit. And I think it really comes down to the baggage, the hurt, the pain, the stuff you bring in, the garbage you bring in from your first failed marriage. That's what leads to a second marriage. You put expectations and different things on your new spouse that maybe the old one did, and you just assume they're going to do that as well. And so it causes friction. It causes hardship.
Right. Well, and there's those things, like in my husband's case, we worked through so much from our first marriages.
Yeah.
You know, so like when we met, we were in a completely different place and we had worked through a lot of things. But I love that our counselor that works with us, or she doesn't anymore, she used to work with us, she was like, you know, we went to her because as the marriage went on, some of these old things started coming up. And we're like, what is wrong with us? We've worked through these issues from our past, but now here they're coming up to haunt us again.
Yep.
And she's like, this is perfectly normal. Like, you've worked through those things, but your mind has a memory. You know what I mean? Those receptors. She's like, if something happens that has happened or makes those little sensors like, wait a minute, we recognize this. So here's our response to this. She was like, you're trained to respond to that a certain way, even though it's not the same thing.
Right.
Those little sensors are telling you, oh, trouble, escape, you know, fight or flight, like get out of there. And so it was just like reassuring to know, okay, this is normal that these things are coming back up, even though we thought we've worked through all this. We're good. Everything's good. Why are these things coming back? Like, yeah, in the beginning, things are great, you know, and wonderful, and you're getting to know each other. But then you slip into that everyday normal life, and I think some of those things can come back, and you can, you know, you start thinking things, and you're like, okay, wait a minute. What is this? Why am I feeling this way? So, of course, we're big advocates, and if, you know, you are having problems, like, reach out to somebody, talk to somebody. There is no shame in talking and going to counseling and marriage counseling. I think there's that shame of, well, if we go to counseling and people find out, they'll think our marriage isn't perfect. Well, no one's is.
I think that's a counseling stereotype in general.
Oh, absolutely.
And especially for guys, I think there's a stereotype that if you have to go talk to someone, you're weak or you can't handle things. And really, sometimes it's just good to get an outside perspective.
Yeah.
Because you get in your own head and we all write a really cruddy first draft about ourselves, about our situations. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we just need to go hear like, hey, this is normal. It's okay.
Right.
Keep working through it.
Yeah.
Keep enduring.
And here are some things to help you
when
these things arise. So it's always good to reach out and get help.
And so we went looking in, you know, you do see the Brady Bunch. We all grew up in that Brady Bunch generation. Here's a story of a lovely lady.
Ever remember Carol and Mike arguing.
No, very rarely.
Not about their kids, not your kids being mean to my kid.
No.
Never. It was the lesson was laid out.
Oh, yeah. And so you go in with that fairy tale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's sometimes that is a dangerous place. I remember when we were doing marriage counseling, you know, and she kind of asked us the question. It was our pastor and his wife. And she said, you know, what are your expectations or your expectations of the roles for you and for Jesse with the boys and even with your marriage? And she said, because we get trapped in a movie trailer mentality.
Well, and we assume things. Oh, I just assumed once we were married, you would assume this role or you would, you know, assume this. You would take care of this and I would take care of that. But you've never expressed those things to each other.
Right.
And a lot of times it does take a marriage counselor or something to bring those things forward. You don't even realize you have that expectation on your spouse until somebody says, what do you expect?
Right.
And then you're like, oh.
But she said, the movie trailer mentality is the most dangerous thing to any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not like a movie.
No.
It never plays out like a TV show.
Uh-uh.
Your life is your life.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to happen. Circumstances are going to raise their head or mm-hmm. some good, some bad.
Right.
And it's going to play out how your life plays out. Not like a movie you've watched.
You may even have an expectation of how someone reacts when something good happens. You know
all
what I mean?
Time.
I mean, just the other day, my stepdaughter, she got third place in the social studies fair. Well, she gets in the car and she shows me, and I know how much she's been working on this and been stressing about it. So she gets in the car. She's like, guess what? I'm like, what? And she holds up the third place ribbon. And I'm
incredible.
Like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. It's great. You know, because I am prepared for what she is going to expect no matter what. So then she wasn't as excited. And I'm like, are you not excited? She's like, no, I really wanted the red one. She didn't want the first one. She wanted the second place. She was upset she didn't get second. Well, then she FaceTimes her mom to tell her. And, you know, her mom's at work and she FaceTimes her. So she's whispering. She can't be super. She's like, that's awesome. That's great. And then Lena's like, well, how come you aren't like being loud and telling me how excited you are. Are you not proud of me? Like, and I'm like, honey, your mommy's out. You know what I mean? But her expectation was, and I'm not saying mine was correct, but because I'm in the car with her and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's great. You know, like making that big deal out of it. She expected that from her mother.
Oh.
And so, you know, her mom's like, honey, I'm at work. There's people all around me. I'm, you know, phones are ringing. I can't react that way right now. And, you know, so I kind of had to go through that. But that was an expectation she had.
It happens all the time. Like, maybe I've got like a half day or whatever, and I get up and I pick up a little bit, or I get something knocked off the honey-do list, and then the wife comes in and she doesn't notice.
Right.
Or she's not like, oh my goodness, thank you.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right. I did this for nothing. Next time I just won't do it.
Next time I'll just lay around and watch TV.
Right.
But that doesn't take into what's her day been like.
Right.
What's on her plate right now? What anxieties are coming out right now? Mm-hmm. What's going on
in
her
world?
What
was she thinking about on the drive home?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we have our expectations.
Well, thank you, but man, you know, what really needed to be done was you could have helped with the bottles instead of, you know, hanging the picture that hasn't been hung in 6 months. You know, like.
Yeah.
That's how we put these movie trailer, these Brady Bunch scenarios in our life. And listen, we don't have the lady cooking for us.
Right.
We don't have the handyman
around
the
house.
No,
there's no Alice.
I wish there was an Alice.
Doing my laundry and cooking my dinner.
Her pot roast always looks so good.
No wonder they never argue.
Yeah, no wonder. But, you know, you don't have that. And that's not our reality. No. And even mine and Meg's reality is not not your reality or each other's.
Right. That's why we love, like, hearing from you. Hearing, you know, the struggles you guys are going through. Because maybe you're like this. When we first got married, me and Chris, and I've told this story several times, we went to a stepfamily conference.
Yep.
We had not been together married probably a month. We go to the stepfamily conference. They're going through all of these problems that stepfamilies face. And the whole time we're like, psh, we do not have these problems. Like, we must be pros at this. Like, you know, everything is great for us. Keep in mind, we're a month into our new marriage. Well, then fast forward a couple of years, and we start seeing some of those things we had learned in that conference popping up. And it's like, oh, okay. So this was for step families. And I said, honestly, they should say, if you've been married less than a year and these aren't your problems, then this isn't for you. Because it gives, like, we had that false hope of like, oh, we are good.
Yeah.
Like, we already got this. Look, we do all these things already. We already got it all figured out.
Yeah.
And then not realizing that later on, after years of living under the same roof and, you know, dealing with things as a family, some of those things will come up. Even if you thought, you know, in the very beginning, oh, we got it all figured out. Everything's great.
I will say, though, I think the Brady Bunch did get one problem right.
They put the boys in one room and the girls in another.
I mean, that was probably a good one. But sibling rivalry.
Yes.
There was a lot of that in that show.
Marsha.
But it was interesting. A lot of times, it wasn't how you thought it would be.
No, it wasn't like the girls are jealous of what the boys get to do.
It was more like the younger ones are jealous of the older ones.
Right,
or
within the same actual family. That's why I think a lot of the issues that we talk about, we will say, this is what's going on in our blended family. You know, I have a 17-year-old. My husband has now an 11-year-old. And it's like, we see issues that an 11 and 17-year-old would have, whether they were stepsisters or whether they were actual biological sisters. Like, so we'll start talking about a problem, and then we realize this is normal. This is helpful for anybody with children, not just blended families.
Absolutely. And so I think the one for us that's helped me see is, obviously, the boys, boys, Zeke and King, have a brother on their mom's side who is 3. And then we have Willow, who's like just about 7 months. And so I can see the sibling rivalry is kind of like which younger likes which older better, or how they treat one of their half-siblings different than the other. And we actually had to have this conversation the other day, you know, with COVID going around, trying to be careful.
Right.
They're always like, well, I got the shot for Willow, so I don't get sick, or I don't want to get in her face, and I don't want to go over there because I don't want to bring that home. And I said, guys, you have a younger brother.
Right.
You've got to think of him the same way.
You think
I know that she's
young. Yeah, and he's a little bit older. Right.
She's young, but as you get older, if you continue to treat her this way, he is going to have a problem with that. Like, you've got to say, I've got younger.
I want to protect him as much as I want to protect her.
Absolutely. And so we had that conversation and really started watching how they say stuff. Not that I ever thought that they meant it that way.
Right.
But it came out that way. And I never wanted, you know, their younger brother to feel slighted or that
of
they
course.
Love their sister more. Right. Or never want her to think that they love him more.
Right.
Like, they're going to have to really work and sharing love equally.
Right.
And so it's kind of interesting. It's,
and where it's a boy and a girl, too, I'm sure it's different because we do treat boys different than we treat girls. It's just a fact.
It's absolutely the case. And, you know, we thought all along, like, wow, we've got to make sure that we don't make them feel a certain way because we love or we dote over Willow more than them. You know what I mean? And, like, really paying attention to that. But, you know, it's a lesson that they're going to have to learn, too. Like, they're basically in the same shoes as us. They've got to be able to treat both siblings the same as they would, and even amongst themselves. So, like, Zeke, he's got to be careful that Kingston never thinks that his favorites are Willow or his other brother.
Right.
And, like, so it's just one of those things where...
So many dynamics.
There are, and if you don't... If you go in with the expectation, like rose-colored glasses, and think, oh, this is going to be easy breezy.
Well, you're going to fall apart when it's not.
And you're not going to set them up to succeed.
Right.
Because it's going to be just as hard for them later. And now, listen, everybody that's got multiple siblings,
right.
It's still the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, luckily, you know, you're an only child.
Yeah.
I've only got one sister. Like, that's not really an issue. She's my favorite.
Right. When people ask us all the time, well, how do the girls get along?
Right.
And I'm like, as good as a 17 and 11-year-old can get along.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge...
That's a win in itself.
...maturity age gap, period. You know what I mean? Like, 11 and 17-year-olds don't hang out together. Now put them in the same house. You know what I mean? They get on each other's nerves. They do the best they can, especially from two girls coming from being only children.
Yeah.
You've been the only one, the center of attention. And then now you're thrust into not only a new step-parent, but a new home, and now you have a sister.
Yeah.
Who's younger or older.
That you might not have ever wanted.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, that's my best answer as well, as good as can be expected. And I feel like you said, if they had grown up together from birth, you know, Tana being 11 years old or whatever when Lena was born, then it would be the same as it is today.
100%. So Zeke had Kingston. He knew what it was like to have a sibling. Then all of a sudden, you know, he's 9 and has... younger brother, and then he's 11 or 12 and has a younger sister, and it would be the same issues.
Yeah.
And so, listen, leave the expectations at the door. Leave the movie theater trailer.
They will rob your joy. Expectations in anything. Expectations in your marriage.
Absolutely.
Expectations in how your children will act. Expectations in how your family will be. I mean, honestly, expectations in how your car is going to drive. Like, seriously, expectations on anything are just setting you up for failure.
Well, you ever go to your favorite restaurant?
Mm-hmm. And the food's not as good as it usually is.
And you go in with the expectation of this is my favorite steak. It's the best steak in all of the land. And you go in and it's not good that time. It wouldn't be bad if you hadn't put those expectations on it. Like, I'm going to have a steak and I'm going to enjoy it.
It's usually good, you know.
It's usually good, whatevs. And then you get there and it's average. Yeah. You're still okay with it.
Right.
So leave the expectations at the door. You know, other things that you could talk about it, you know, there's going to be grief, and that's a whole scenario in itself. Grief of a split family, maybe grief in the world we live puts people on edge. That leads for hard conversations, frustrated mentalities, and different things. And so it's just those little small things, I think, that we don't think will play big roles, play huge roles in how the nucleus of the new family coexists and succeeds.
Yeah, so let's fight the 60% and the 70% statistic that says these second marriages will fail. Mm-mm. Y'all, we can do this.
We can.
Look, if it's not worth fighting for, why'd you get involved in it in the first place?
Absolutely.
So let's fight for our marriages. And if you need to talk to someone, don't be afraid to reach out. Get some counseling. You know, it can be maybe just your pastor or, you know, just a local agency that has counselors. And now, these days, you can look online. People can talk to you online and things like that. But just don't be afraid of the stigma and reaching out and getting the help
you need. And don't be afraid if the only way that you can do it is through, like, a telemental health.
Yeah.
I've got a buddy who counsels, and he said, I actually see more success out of the telehealth than I do the actual in-person counseling. There's just something about how people
more
will open up and be more comfortable. And so if that's the only way that you can do it, don't discount it.
Right.
Use it. Those tools are out there to help people succeed. And
and
I think the biggest conversation that needs to be happening before people get into a next marriage is, what are your expectations of not leaving?
Lay out an expectation and they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that, you know, whatever it is, or that's not at all what I thought was happening here.
And I remember early on in mine and my wife's, courting, as you would call it, going, hey, listen, I need you to know, like, I don't quit. Like, quitting's not an option.
Right.
Giving up on us is not, if we decide to get married.
This is happening.
Like, we're seeing this thing through to death do us part. Like,
right.
That's just my mentality. And just getting that on the table, I would think have to reassure her. I mean, he's already been through one divorce. Does he just run from
them? I was going to say, because I think some of us, and me included, I'm talking about myself, you know, I came from a marriage where I was told constantly that he was going to leave me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I have those issues of, okay, so I'm in this new relationship, this new marriage. So if we have a conflict, my first thought is he going to leave me? And I've expressed that to him. You know what I mean? Like, it would be comforting for me if we have a disagreement. Maybe you're not ready to, like, make nice with me, whatever, that's fine. But if you would just say to me, we're going to be okay, but I'm upset right now.
Yep.
That is, and for us, that works, because I just need to know, like, he's mad, but I still love you. Everything is fine. We're fine.
Yep.
But. I don't want to talk about it right now.
I mean, I'm much like that. Like, if you don't want to send me spinning like a top,
right?
I just need to know that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to be okay.
Right. But right now I'm aggravated. Leave me alone. I mean, I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? Like, don't talk to me, but we're fine.
But, if the storming off happens, or the I'm not going to talk to you or whatever, like, when that happens, then that spins me like a top.
Right. Like, oh my gosh, is she going to leave me?
My anxiety goes out.
Me?
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Oh no, I can't, not again. And the boys and Willow.
Yes.
And so, I know that
finding those things for you and your spouse that, to somebody who's never dealt with it, it may sound silly. Like, well, why would I need to tell him that? He should know. Right. I don't want to leave. Okay, but sometimes that these are fears and, like you said, expectations that
or
we
baggage.
Have. Right, from previous relationships, and that's just where our minds go. So,
but it's good to know those things. It's good to know, like, hey, in that instant, like, sometimes for me, like, obviously, guys, I'm not saying, like, this happens all the time, but I know me well enough to know if a certain argument or disagreement happens, I even need to be walking away going, hey, it's going to be all right.
Right.
Everything's okay. Mm-hmm. Be optimistic. Don't spiral. Don't spin. Just face it and it happens. And so learning those things, can make your marriage succeed higher than the rate that most second marriages, I think, on numbers, end up being. So leave the expectations at the door. Have the tough conversations in what expectations are and what they aren't. And, when you leave expectations at the door, it sounds contradicting. But they're not expectations if you've talked about them.
Yeah.
They are understood.
Yeah.
This isn't. But when you go in and the other party doesn't know your expectations, those are the ones you need to leave at the door. So thanks for joining us for another episode of the Blended Podcast. If you want to join in on the conversation, head to facebook.com/blendedpodcast. Or if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's the_blended_podcast. So join the conversation. Let us know some of what you're seeing, what you've seen succeed, what you've seen cause problems. We love to strengthen our marriages, and we'd love to share that information to hopefully help out other people's as well.
Thanks for listening to The Blended Podcast with Megan and Derek, a positive alternative radio production. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to subscribe and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. You can learn more at walkfm.org.